They write his name upon the walls. They wrote pigs and helper skelter and all kinds of things. They wrote Charlie Manson on the wall. So yeah, I guess there is a sense where in the name of Charlie Manson, to me, they use the name. Use the name. But you know what? It doesn't matter what this documentary says. I was going to use this illustration last night. Wayne Grayson has given the best illustration I've ever heard on how the meanings of words change. Did you know that the original name of Huzzy, I heard you say this on the radio broadcast. The original meaning of Huzzy was a housewife. You're going to try and tell someone a Huzzy today because it means some flirtatious woman. So what do you have to do? To go into the New Testament, we don't go to 20th century dictionaries. We go to Greek lexicons. You need to start number 6. Start number 7.
We can put up chart 2.
Okay, well then it's probably the same thing here. What chart? Chart number 11 is probably all the same chart. Housewife. Husband. Baptized. You're going to go to 20th, that's all right. You're going to go to 20th century, you're going to look up what in the name of the Charles Manson's book and get baptized for a 20th century dictionary. It's going to say sprinkle. But you know, good and well, you've got to go back to the original Greek. You can hit chart number 1 on paper.
Could be number 1.
Thayer, page 447, in the name of Christ, one of the meanings given by Thayer to do a thing by one's command and authority, acting on his behalf, promoting his cause. Here, my chart number 16. Now, you may not know this, Pat, but I'm going to give you a little lesson on Greek lexicons. My chart number 16 should be the top chart. No? Okay, well, let me start with number 15, first of all. Inconsistency in the Church of Christ. The doctrine that he is teaching has not been consistently taught in the Church of Christ. The Reformers taught that in the name refers to a formula. Walter Scott, Mr. Scott taking the confession of the candidate, baptized in the presence of a large concourse for the remission of sins, thus annexing to the usual formula the words of Peter, Acts 2.38, plans for the purpose. Alexander Campbell said, down into the water you were led, the name of the Holy One upon your face, upon your person was pronounced. Now you know you identify yourself with this man. He's also said, it is good for those upon whom the name of the Lord is called, that the name of the Lord communicates remission, justification, etc. In the Campbell writes today, he said, what are the essentials of baptism? Number 3, the divine formula of words. It was not until 1951, with T.K. Wallace in the Wallace-Bond debate, that the no-formula doctrine was ever taught. He said, I never said that Matthew 28:19 was a formula. There is no baptismal formula. None at all. But you're still not deciding on the doctrine because Guy and Wood to the James 2 and 7 is most surely the name of Christ pronounced upon us in baptism. Now chart number 16, Joseph Thayer. Now you may not know this, but Thayer's lexicon was edited and revised by time. Thayer's lexicon came out in some 1800s. It says, to do a thing in the name of, by one's command and authority, acting on his behalf, promoting his cause. Now when they edited the lexicon, they did not go back and erase definitions. They just put solid notation. The notation on this definition, it says cross-reference W390, which gives you a notation to refer to Thayer's edition of Winer's Grammar of the Greek New Testament, page 390, which states, even in the most recent lexicon, the significance of this preposition has been unworthily multiplied or its real significance incorrectly applied to the New Testament passages. The interpretation which has been given to the phrase in the name of someone in particular. So it is a later edition, Thayer in Winer's Grammar of the Greek New Testament, put the notation that says this definition of in the name has been incorrectly applied. But notice, Thayer did not advocate a no formula. He went on to say the phrase in the name is used in various senses. In the use of the name of Christ, the power of his name being invoked for assistance, in acknowledging, embracing, professing the name of Christ. Chart number, his chart number 4. Colossians 3:17. How much time is there on 3?
Probably.
Pat mentioned some funny things here. Although I think Wayne's a little bit better at it, we talk about pride and nail. Wayne is a priest and Luther debate guy that said, every time you drive a nail, you gotta say Jesus. Colossians 3:17. Do all in the name of the Lord. Now, he quoted this verse several times without ever quoting it all the way the first few times. He kind of reminds me of the missionary Baptist preacher that was kind of preaching to his congregation, teaching them that you didn't have to be baptized to be saved. He quoted 1 Peter 3 and 21, baptism does not fail, save us not. Now that's what it says. That's not all it says. It says baptism does not fail, save us not. The putting away the filthiness of the flesh. Now I'm going to tell you how you can kiss your wife in Jesus' name in just a minute. Now give me my chart number 14. Now Elmer Moore with the Church of Christ says, if you ever had a question about something colossal, you can always go to Ephesians to find a parallel. So we've got some scriptures here, and we want to show you the parallel. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all ways, with teaching and watching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with praise in your hearts to the Lord. You see the parallel. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God, verse 22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Spirit of the Lord. So we see Ephesians 5:20 is a direct parallel to Colossians 3:17. We notice in verse scriptures, both scriptures, it is talking about giving thanks for all things, for all things. Colossians says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all. And both of them are in the name of the Lord Jesus. This scripture simply means that when we have an opportunity to give thanks to God, we say and we invoke the name of Jesus. We say, thank you, Jesus. You kiss your wife in Jesus' name by kissing her, saying, thank you, Jesus, for my beautiful wife. Chart number 18. My chart number 18. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. The Greek text says, and everything, whatever you may do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Gingrich, page 572, says to thank God while mentioning the name of Jesus Christ. Now this does not mean he's not up here and talks about whatsoever you do. Whatsoever, you got to say Jesus in everything you do. But Colossians 3:17 does not require us to say Jesus before every bite of food, but it does require us to say thank you, Jesus, for our meal. This does not mean we've got to go around and say thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, any more than 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Praying without ceasing means that we walk around praying all the time and never go to work because we're always praying. We're always praying. Now, here's the chart. Number 35. One more time, we're fine. Falsely in my name, Jeremiah 29:29, 14:14, Matthew 24:5, Mark 13:6, take them in this name, but you're not come by his authority. You admit it! That coming in someone's name does not mean coming by their authority. Therefore, in the name does not mean by their authority. He says this proves this point. These folks were pretenders. But it does not say the Lord said they pretended to come in my name. The Lord said they prophesy lies in my name. It did not say they pretend to prophesy lies in my name. It says they did prophesy lies in my name. Now he's got, let's go to chart number 22. It was on that last chart he mentioned where it said, by the mouth of God, 2 Chronicles 36:12. But 2 Chronicles 36:12 is referring to Jeremiah. And we all know that Jeremiah was a true prophet of God, and he spoke by in the name of Jehovah, and he spoke confessing and invoking the name. Matthew 28:19. Name singular. The word name being singular shows that Jesus is the name of the Father and the Son of the Lord. That's what I believe. Genesis 48:16, and the name singular of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. Now, a fifth grader can see that this is not grammatical from Tom Ford. Matthew 29:19 says the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This simply says the name of my fathers. Now, give me my chart number 13. Let's go to a scripture that is grammatically concord with Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19 says, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Notice we have a singular name, followed by three prepositional phrases, connected by coordinated conjunctions. Singular name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:13 says, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac and of Jacob. Again, one singular noun followed by three prepositional phrases connected by coordinated conjunctions. If Matthew 28:19 describes three names, then Acts 3:13 describes three gods. We'll let you tell it tomorrow morning. We believe in three gods. Here's chart number 21. Oh my God, I'm fine. There you go. Bible, move it up a little bit, please. Passages sometimes used to support my own position. Does it mention what was said? Acts 22:16, calling upon the name of the Lord. You going to tell me calling upon the name of the Lord? Does it mention what was said? He says here, does it mention baptism? Does it mention even what was said? Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Now, Pat, are you going to tell me going over to the Missionary Baptist Church and preach you can receive remission of sins without baptism? You know remission of sins is a direct reference to baptism. It does mention baptism. It does mention what was said. I put on my chart the word preaching Caruso means to proclaim the name. My chart. Number three. Whatever chart's next. Let's go through. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 11, verse 14. The angel told Cornelius, referring to Peter, who shall tell thee words? Whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. These are the words that were going to say in the household of Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, Peter said that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. You just don't receive remission of sins through baptism. You receive it through his name. Acts 10, 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Capital Greek text. He commanded them. It's not an option. It's a command. It's essential. Now what does the phrase, in the name of Jesus, mean? Jeff Herzog, Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, Volume 1, page 436. The Greek phrase, in the name, means the acts of baptism take place with the utterance of the name of Jesus. Found already in Hebrews, page 572. In Anamata, in the name of God or Jesus, means in the majority of cases, with mention of the name, while naming or calling on the name. In many passages, it seems to be a formula. Now, very quickly, I just remember this. He's out there and talks about, well, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ. Well, that proves that the name is Christ. You know, Christ is an English translation of the Greek. And it simply means the Messiah. The Messiah is not a proper name. Jesus is a proper name. The Father is not a proper name. Pat Donahue is a proper name. And I gave you the parallel scripture where he said, many shall come in my name and say, I am he. Well, I guess he is his name. Now, it means they'll come using his name. Do the next chart. Acts 9 and 6. Jesus told Saul of Tarsus, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, Jesus told you you've got to do something. It's essential. It's essential. What was he told to do? Acts 22:16. And now, thy tarry is thou, arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, this word calling in Greek is from epiphileo. Phaedra, page 239, says it means the name of one is named upon someone. Bauer and Gingrich, page 294, says someone's name is called over someone. So both of these agree that we have one person calling the name over another person. Now watch this. The words baptized, wash, and call in this verse in Greek are in the middle voice. It's called the causative middle. Causative middle means to have something done to you. Saul was commanded to get baptized. My question number five, I give you two choices. Was Saul told to go baptize or get baptized? He marked get baptized. Saul was told to get baptized, not go baptize someone. Saul was to get his sins washed away, not go wash away someone's sins. Saul was commanded to get his name called over him, not go call on the name. Acts 22:16 states, get yourself baptized, get your sins washed away, get his name called over you. A.T. Robertson, Lord's Grammar, page 808. And that's what Jesus said he must do. Next chart.
5 minutes. Going back to chart number 5.
Cool. Chart number 5. What did he say about this? He said, well, they're pretenders. They're pretenders. No, I got right up here and said it would not be enough for you to say they pretended because the Lord said they prophesy a lie in my name. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. It does not say they pretended. It says they did. Next chart. Consistent use of in the name. Did he ever mention any of it? Did he ever tell you why they knew he cast out devils in his name? No, he didn't. Did he ever tell you how they knew he taught in the name? No, he didn't. Did he ever mention anything about prayer? Does he ever pray and not use the name of Jesus? Have you ever seen a baptism take place and a name was not invoked? I'd like to answer that to you up here. Have you ever seen a silent baptism take place? Being bold, he never referred to this, but referred to sorry, just speaking the name. Gathered together, never referred to that. That when you come together in his name, you know that means you come together invoking his name. Next chart. Never refer to any of this, never refer to it, never refer to the fact that David's servant is sort of in David's name, and Nabal said, who is David? This lets us know that they invoked the name David. Therefore, when they spoke in David's name, they invoked the name David. He never referred to these Hebrew authorities. Corral and Brumgarner, page 93, in the name of Jehovah means calling the name. Ground driver and break, in the name of Jehovah means to call with. That is used the name of Jehovah in worship. Never referred to it. You fall in it. Thomas right now. Next chart. James 2 and 7. He doesn't refer to it. He said, well, what if it was baptism? Well, if it wasn't, it proves my proposition. Move it up. Never referred to the way James 2 and 7 is quoted in the Amplified Bible. Is it not that you slander and blaspheme that precious name by which you are distinguished and called the name of Christ invoked in baptism? Never referred to the fact that his own brother, Dr. Diane Wood, with the Church of Christ said, this name was most surely that of Christ pronounced upon us in baptism. That's not just my interpretation of James 2 and 7. That's your own brother's interpretation of James 2 and 7. Next chart. Acts 2.38, did he ever refer? He went to Thayer, but I've already showed you that Thayer has remarked that that definition was wrong, of in the name equal not in Lord. But did he ever refer to any of these? In the name of, Bauer or in English, the formula, in the name, used with many verbs, probably me, in connection with, or by the use of, naming, calling out, calling upon the name, Acts 2.38, Bauer or in English, page 573, when someone's name is mentioned, or called upon, mentioning someone's name. F.F. Bruce, page 98, the baptism indeed was doubly associated with the name of Jesus Christ as the baptizer also named it over the person baptized. He didn't say a word about it. I'm not even asking if you have to put up the chart. He didn't say a word about this. He spent all his time talking about chart and answer. Ernest Hankin, page 184, Luke presupposes the form of baptism practiced in his own community. The name Jesus Christ is pronounced over the candidate. Hodgewer, page 127, the phrase baptized in and a pagan name gives a description of the process of baptism. They indicate that the baptism took place during the naming of the name Jesus. Jackson in Lake, the beginning of Christianity, volume 5, page 124. A convert knew perfectly well when he said that he had been baptized in the name of Jesus, he met someone and said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. Or something similar. And if the Bible does not bind us to say anything over the one baptized, I'd like to know where your authority comes for saying anything when you're baptized. You tell us that when you get up here. Move the chart down. Then Peter said, repent and you baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. You know good and well if you went to a lexicon, you could look up the word baptized and say immersed. You could substitute the word baptized for immersed. Repent and be immersed. Then notice, in the name of Jesus, it means naming, calling out, calling upon the name. When the name is mentioned or called upon, the baptized are named over the person baptized. The name Jesus is pronounced over the candidate. The baptism took place through the naming of the name Jesus. I have Greek scholar, I have Greek scholar on four charts. What's my time?
We have about a minute.
About a minute. Put my questions up there. Let me see. All right? In Luke 9:49, how does John know the stranger cast out demons in Jesus' name? You know, and I know, that he knew they cast out in Jesus' name because he invoked the name of Jesus. In Zechariah 13:3, did the false prophet speak lies by the authority of Jehovah? It said they spoke lies in the name of Jehovah. He said no. Well, then it does not mean by the authority. Acts 15:17 refers to the name of the Lord being called over Gentiles. Thank you.